They don't call it Speedway for nothing. Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
As always, because I have to say it, the opinions and views we express in this podcast are those of the speaker. We do not in any way represent the views or opinions of any entity involved with any car, any individual driver, former, current, or future, any teams, any tracks, or any of their parent companies or subsidiaries. Also, the views and opinions expressed do not represent those of our individual employees, the employers. We are the employees. They are solely the opinions of the speaker.
Also, keep in mind that we never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
All right. So, this is the first podcast after May, and I'm still a little depressed.
We're a little depressed because May's over.
May is our month. If anybody in Indy knows, May is the month.
May is the month. Hashtag month of May. So
hashtag merry month of May.
Merry month of May. That's right. So, but there's still IndyCar action going on.
Still.
I actually just got back from vacation.
So somebody left me.
I did. I came back with a much nicer tan.
Yeah.
I took a family reunion cruise. Well, I mean, we were on a cruise. It wasn't just us. I mean, there were, you know, 5,000 people on the ship. So I left. So I'm going to let Molly take it away with a little recap of the Detroit GP because I didn't see any of that.
No, thanks. While somebody was in the Caribbean, I was live streaming the radio because I couldn't get the TV to work. I don't know. It was ESPN. It was an app. I don't know. I got confused. So IndyCar Radio. So shout out to IndyCar Radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It was helpful for the GP, the Detroit GP. As I'll talk about later, I was very excited to get the live stream of the TV on NBC for the Texas race because that was much better. So it's the Detroit GP. We are going into a road track a weekend after the Indy 500. 2 days of racing, Saturday and Sunday. So the turnaround is pretty insane. Real quick, shout out to Graham Rahal for winning that bad boy back to back. Saturday won, Sunday won. He was coming in saying his car was hot, and I'll tell you what, it was. It was. And good on him, because apparently, everybody was talking about it was 25 years after his father, Bobby Rahal, won as well at the Detroit GP. So,
oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Nice little anniversary.
It's a fun thing. And you know, he's a good guy.
He's very tall too.
He's tall.
Yes. And I actually realized after the fact, I just realized this week, when I was going through just looking at different things, we spoke to his wife. She was the tall blonde in that gorgeous form-fitting red gown at the banquet, who we complimented, and it had like that little choker piece with it. Yeah, that's his wife.
She was so pretty.
She's gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous. But he's very tall for a race car driver.
He's
very tall for a normal person.
You see drivers and you're like, oh, they're jockey size. But they're like a handful of them that you're like, you're kind of a tall motherfucker. How do you fit in that car?
Right? How do you get in that car? Like, how are your knees not at your chin?
Is it like an extension? Yeah. Are your feet in a little nose?
Is it like a twin XL when you're in a dorm room?
Yes, the extra twin.
Yeah.
So that was great for Graham, and it was a good race.
Yeah, he's a good driver.
He's a good driver. I think people in Indiana appreciate him. Just because he's a good guy.
He is.
You know, and he's sponsored by Steak and Shake, and I ain't mad about that.
I mean, I worked for Steak and Shake. That was my my first job as a waitress and my last job as a waitress.
I did not, but I do enjoy their shakes.
Well, I never worked for any restaurant that I didn't like their food, so.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement. I also, even though we are not fans of him on this podcast, I will give some points to Marco Andretti. He showed some spirit in these two races.
Did he?
He did. He was coming after teammates, trying to pass. He and Ryan Hunter-Reay kind of went back and forth and back and forth for the first race.
Good for him. RHR. RHR is a hell of a driver, too.
RHR is a hell of a driver. Then he decided to try and go after our favorite serial killer, Alexander Rossi.
He better watch his back.
Hashtag is Alexander Rossi a serial killer. Yes.
Pretty sure.
So race two, they battled. So much so that race control made them both give up a position because they were battling and they wouldn't let people. Yes. Which reminded me of when my brother and I would fight and my mother would be like, now you have to hug each other. So basically, right? Teresa Hilliker is race control.
Yeah. They take the toy away. Now neither of you get to play with it.
Not neither. Give up the position. Neither of you.
now you both have to sit in the pit lane.
Can't happen. Also for the Grand Prix and the Detroit Grand Prix and the 500. Did he finish the 500? I don't think he even finished the 500.
Nope. Marco?
Nope. Our unfortunate favorite local driver who just isn't having some good luck here. We're going to start something here called hashtag Connor Car Watch.
Connor Car Watch.
You know, Connor is a great
Connor
driver.
Daly. We love Connor Daly.
I think he's got instinct.
And we met him at the banquet.
You met him at the banquet.
I met him at the banquet. Oh, that's right. Yes. You were schmoozing.
It happens. Hashtag lawyer.
Yeah, you were schmoozing with some other attorneys that you know.
It happens.
So, but I met Connor, and he's a great guy, and I told him how cool I thought his mom was, and yeah, he was a sweetheart. And, well, and also, I will say, I've got a nephew who's got type 1 diabetes, and so...
he has the diabetes.
He has the diabetes. As does Charlie Kimball, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yes, they both have the diabetes. And so, I will say, as the aunt of a nephew who has type 1 diabetes, it's nice to see drivers, well, to see any kind of professional athlete be open about that. To show that you really can still do anything you want to do. That this is not a life-ending disease. It's not, you know, it's not a terminal prognosis. Or, you know, it definitely adds things to your life. It can complicate some things. But if you take good care of yourself, you can still pretty much do anything you want to do.
Agreed.
And so I love Connor for that, even...
Well, you know...
Even without anything else.
Yeah. And he's got good instincts. And I think he'll make a good driver. I just... I have decided, and I think we've talked about this, his car must be haunted.
His car must be haunted.
It's haunted. There's a haint, as a woman I used to work with would say. There's a haint.
There's a haint. That car. Yeah. There's something. Like, that car just cannot finish a race.
He didn't finish. He finished race two. He didn't finish race one.
Well, and it was his second year in a row of not finishing third year in a row of not finishing the 8500. So, just breaks our hearts.
Spoiler alert, he didn't finish Texas.
He didn't finish Texas, so
we're starting something here called Connor Car Watch. Sorry, Connor, but...
We're hoping that we see that car make it. We hope we see that car. I mean, we don't think it's a driver issue.
No.
We think that there's some bad juju on that car. Yeah. So, I don't know. Do we need a witch doctor or a shaman?
I got a friend. She's got, like, sage. We can get that happening for you.
We can definitely do that.
We can, like, smudge. I think that's what they call it. Smudging.
I don't know. It sounds made up.
Detroit. Unfortunately, Detroit was exciting, but the race that happened after Detroit was much more exciting.
Oh my gosh. So
The Texas shit I don't know what to call. I don't know.
I've heard it called the Crash Fest.
Crash Fest shit show. I think it's like IndyCar Survivor, IndyCar Hunger Games.
Texas Clusterfuck 600.
Ooh, I like that.
So the Clusterfuck 600.
Because I can't stand to call it the Rain guard water sealer 600, which got delayed in practice because of rain.
Which is the irony there.
So ironic.
Hilarious.
So much. It was also a fucking Mario Kart out there.
It was. It was like bumper cars.
It was.
Yeah.
It was like a NASCAR rubbing and racing.
It was. Yeah. It was something else. Clusterfuck. The Texas Clusterfuck 600.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of crashes.
There were.
And I will say, so they repaved the track.
Yes.
And so Firestone had to re-engineer tires for this track based on the banking and this and that. Because not all of your tires are the same. Some people, you know, on your car that you drive every day, you will have the same tires on all four wheels. Yep. And you will inflate them to the same amount.
Yep.
On all four wheels.
Yep.
My vehicle, the front tires don't get inflated to the same amount. So mine, the front and the rear, are different. But that's pretty abnormal. It's a BMW. So, of course, what do you expect? German engineering. Don't get me wrong, I love my BMW. And I love German engineering. It's just one of the many things that makes my car more expensive to get work done.
Well, I'm just saying, on the Honda, I just forget to get my tires changed and they're both flats. Let's go ahead and put that. Another reason why I can't be an IndyCar driver.
Yeah, because you would forget to pet.
The tires are bald.
We ran out of gas.
No, I could keep going. Nope, out of the race.
No, you can't. Pull it over.
So
they actually, like, each tire will be designed differently, especially on an oval track.
Yes.
With the road courses, it's a little bit different because they're turning both ways. But on the oval, like, different tires will be thicker or thinner than others based on the amount of pressure and force that's being applied to them, and how quick that rubber is going to wear off.
Yeah.
And they did their time trials in April.
Yeah.
And they did notice blistering of the tires at the time trials, but it did not seem to impede anybody's driving ability.
Right.
Which, okay. And so they made some adjustments from there, but then it obviously ended up being a huge deal during the race, to the point that they had mandatory
pits every 30 laps on green to change out tires.
Yes, and they called it a cautionary yellow or
competitive yellow. It was a competitive yellow.
But basically, everybody was required to pit and change out all four tires because during the race, they found that the blistering was in fact impeding their ability to drive and was causing wrecks.
And shout out to the NBC stream, because you could see the blisters and it was pretty insane to see them.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's hard when you do a time trial, when you do your tire testing in April, yeah. and then the race is in June. The temperature in Texas is very different. I mean, the temperature in Indiana is very different yeah. from April to June. So yeah. it's hard. And the head of the development for Firestone Tires is a female, Kara yeah. Adams.
Way to go.
She's an engineer. She's a complete badass.
Definitely.
And I think that Firestone gets things right, yeah. I would say 99.9% of the time.
Yeah.
And this is one of the times that they just didn't quite have the tweak right on the tires. So hopefully next year we'll see a little bit, yeah. little better composition. So we won't have to have the competitive cautions or competitive yeah. yellows.
And going into it, there was some concern about the new asphalt. They had changed the banking on a couple of the turns. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it wasn't a new course, but it was like a newish course.
It was.
It was a newish course because there weren't any grooves on it, of course.
There weren't any grooves. And so I actually read an article that said that the two drivers that statistically handle a new course the best are Will Power and Scott Dixon.
Yeah.
And for a while, the two of them were battling it out.
Yeah.
Pretty yeah. hard.
Dixon got taken out right at the end.
He sure did. I know. Yeah. I hate that. But I do love Will Power, so I'm not sad at all that he won.
I picked Will for the 500, so yeah. I'm just a couple of races back, I think, is how yeah. I'm picking people.
Yeah, you're just picking a little too early.
A little too early.
A little too early. They so just pick a bet and marinate. Stay with it till they win. Yeah, let it marinate. So, but yeah, and those two drivers did do extremely well on yeah. the track. There was a lot of controversy with the different wrecks that happened. I know Hinchcliffe, well, and also something else that you have to keep in mind with these. Before we get to Hinchcliffe's amazing quote that everybody knows, is that when they come out, your tires are cold. And so when your tires are cold, they don't grip the pavement.
Yeah.
And so your car, it's like hydroplaning because there are no grooves on the tires. They're smooth. That's why mm-hmm. they don't run in any rain. A lot of people say, oh, it's just sprinkling a little
bit.
Rain. Okay, well, it's like the foam flip-flops that you get when you get a pedicure, if you try to walk across a sheet of ice in those.
There you go.
That's the equivalent. It cannot be done without busting your ass.
Which is why, and this is a question I got asked a lot when NASCAR is showing on TV, when we go out for lunch for work, why you see the cars veering left or right, like just making like
kind of just squiggling a little
there,
bit.
They're warming up the tires.
Warming up the tires. Sometimes I do that in traffic when I get bored.
I mean, I ain't mad at you.
Right? Warming up the tires.
Warming up the tires.
Mine typically don't need warmed up. They've got grooves. It doesn't matter, but it makes me feel like I'm a part of it. So
mine don't, but I just wear them out.
Yeah. So, so Hinch, his accident in the pits, it looks like he just didn't have grip, and it basically is just like hydroplaning,
yeah.
on water or sliding on ice or snow. And so he ended up hitting Elio and, Sato.
He collected Elio and Sato and
he did.
He kind of just pushed them all back. He said, not yet.
He did. I think he came out of that mostly unscathed.
He was okay. Elio pretty much popped back out.
But they had to replace his nose piece soon.
Yeah.
Sato needed a whole new piece right then and there.
Right there, yeah.
So I'm sure.
And that was because of the pit on the Rossi caution.
Yeah.
Which was the first three wide issue.
The first three wide problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the cars are trying to go into these turns three wide, which I get it. It's a wider track,
why
so
not?
You kind of have that ability, but you do have to be aware of the people around you
yeah.
and the space that your car has. And also the any kind of curve or any gusting from wind, because yeah. if everybody holds their line perfectly, then we wouldn't have any wrecks. And you're not taking into account, you know, nature and Mother Nature and all the other things that can happen.
Everything out there.
So many different factors. So again, I mean, these drivers are just it's amazing what they do and that they do it week after week. So, yeah. but it was quite the shit show. So
I mean,
if you like crashes, the Texas 600, the Clusterfuck 600 was
Clusterfuck
the one to watch.
600. Hashtag that out next year, guys. See
yeah.
what happens.
Clusterfuck 600.
See if they come back.
So we're going to play a little clip after. So there was one big wreck on, what was it, lap?
Oh, shit. I don't know what. Ugh.
68, whatever.
It was merely the middle.
Well, like two-thirds, whatever. Anyhow, it was the big one. If you know, anyhow, whatever lap it was. And so they interviewed Chip Ganassi. And he and James Hinchcliffe don't necessarily agree on what caused the accident in this particular turn three. And this took out half the field.
Yeah.
So, all right, let me turn up my volume here. Here we go.
Such a-
First of all, I want to say this is the kind of racing we're trying to avoid. And you had the five car out there. That five car crashed in the pit lane. Was trying to crash all night. And he stuck his nose in that situation right there. Why didn't the five car just stay right there? Okay, instead, he gets pushed down to Tony, and everybody knows going into turn three, there's an undulation of the pavement. It's damn hard to keep these cars going straight, and these guys want to take it three wide with 100 laps to go. I got no understanding why.
I think it's adorable. you know, I wasn't the last guy to the three wide. If anybody, if he wants to play that game, McKeel probably should have lifted, being the last guy to the party. But Tony turned right into a left-hand corner. So it's a shame. We wrecked a lot of good race cars, and he got away with it. I mean, he was involved in the Rossi deal. I didn't see that one totally, but I know he was involved in it. He got away with this one. It's like I said, he doesn't normally race like that. I don't know what happened.
All right. Well, shout out to Hinch. I think that's adorable.
First of all, hashtag that's adorable.
That's adorable.
I'm sure that's going to be on a t-shirt. And if it's not, I'm going to be really upset about it.
Yeah. I want that
I'll
t-shirt.
I'll buy it. I've used it to slap down opposing councils. Oh, that's what they want. That's adorable.
First of all, that's adorable.
That's adorable.
So I will say, you know, I'm going to have to agree with Hinch on this one. That, you know, when Chip Ganassi said he should have just stayed in his line, well, he would have loved to have stayed in his line, but Aloshin crept down into Hinch's line.
Yeah.
And so they were three wide in two lanes. That was the problem. The problem was not that they were three wide.
Yeah.
The problem is that they were three wide in only two lanes and not three lanes.
That meant
that. And when you watch it, Tony really did turn right into a left-hand turn.
He did.
And TK, we love TK.
Right. He's a great driver, and I would agree with Hinch. I don't think he made... I mean, TK's came out and said, like, yep, it happened. I don't think he was sitting there like, I'm going to take these people out.
Yeah, I don't think it was... Yeah, there was no ulterior motive. Although I will say that his apology was kind of half-assed. Like, he starts out saying, you know, I did this and this and this, blah, blah. And then he's like, and then at the end he says, I mean, if I did this, it wasn't on purpose and I'm sorry. So he kind of did that, like, I'm sorry that you feel that way.
That's called a lawyer apology.
Like, I know. Well, I mean, that's.
If I did it, maybe.
Well, it's like, I'm not apologizing for what I did. Like, I'm sorry that your feelings are hurt. Like, I'm not taking responsibility for what I did. I'm just sorry that you're pissed off about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it was mostly a good apology, yeah. Kind of a half-ass apology, but he did still acknowledge, you know, that he wasn't racing his best. And Hinch even said, you know, that he didn't expect that from TK.
No, I think it was just an off race. It was
an off race for him.
There's a lot going on in that race.
There was a lot. There was a lot. Yeah, a lot going on. Everybody's still getting used to the track. And, I mean, there's got to be a lot of trust between these drivers. When you're on a course, on an oval course, you can reach those high speeds.
Yes.
But you have to be able to trust the people around you that they're not going to make stupid decisions. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be interesting to see the next oval course after this. Because I think that there were a lot of newer drivers, you know, that their only experience, you know, is the Indy 500 and then this course, and maybe weren't as comfortable as they should have been on an oval race. And so I don't know that the trust level is going to be there for the next oval. And so I'm interested to see kind of what the speeds look like and how things turn out for the next oval course.
I'm actually looking to see when the next oval is.
Molly's looking to see.
Why is it? It should be on here. What is it? Oh, it's the 9th. Wow. It's not until July 9th. That's up at Iowa.
Oh, yeah. I looked at that. It's quite the drive for us. I looked at us going.
There's supposed to be one in San Fran. Or not San Fran. Jesus, we can't drive to San Fran.
No.
St. Louis.
Oh, we could do St. Louis.
We could do St. Louis.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah, we might have to go to that one.
We might have to.
Because
nobody's sponsoring us, and if somebody sponsored us, we might be able
to. I mean, if somebody wanted to, like, pay our airfare.
I'm just saying, hey, Air Alaska.
Our gas. I mean, even our gas.
That's cool.
That'd be cool.
I'd like to go out to Cali.
Sunoco, we love you.
I'd go out to Cali, though.
I'd go anywhere.
You know, last one.
Yeah.
Wine country.
Yeah.
Come on.
Talk dirty to me.
Ooh. Anyway.
Race cars and wine.
Shoot. Yeah.
We'd never come back.
No, we wouldn't. I've been in wine country. It's so pretty.
I've not been to wine country yet.
Oh.
So yeah. So Hinch, that's saying that's adorable. just love that. And that's actually a phrase that I've used at work for the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There is nothing funnier to me than saying when somebody says something stupid, just saying, that's adorable.
That's adorable.
Which sometimes, as a nurse, is the only thing that I can say to a doctor that won't get me fired.
I say it about opposing counsel a lot.
I say it to people's faces. I think we should do that's adorable. I think we should do something that's going to actually save their life. So I'm just not always received well. Nobody's making t-shirts out of me saying it. But when Hinch said it, just epic, hilarious.
Epic.
But
it took out that.
It took out all but, what, 9 drivers?
It took out 6 cars. 7 cars ended that race. Started with 22.
I thought it was 9.
Maybe 9.
No, there were 9. There were 9 that ended because...
That's true.
Hildebrand and Carpenter were able to get back in.
That's right. They did not finish all.
But out of a field of 22, only 9.
No, it was 7 because Takuma took out people at the end. That's why.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because there were multiple crashes.
That's right. Yeah. So, and Sato, he dipped below the line and into the grass, which, this is another thing. Read an article this week and that I wholeheartedly agree with.
Yeah.
Why the fuck is there still grass in the middle of ovals? Why? The cars don't have tread.
Right.
Like, the tires don't have tread on them. So when you hit grass, I mean, you might as well
go.
You might as well hit debris in the road. Yeah. It can cause a car to flip and cause them to spin out of control. They have zero control on the grass. So, and I will say this includes the IMS. It's asinine that at this point that we still have grass. I mean, and personally, I'm not a grass person. I hate mowing the grass. I think it's stupid. I think the amount of importance that we place on yards is dumb. And so,
I don't know. My
make it asphalt and spray paint it. I mean, sell it off. Put advertising there. Whatever.
Parking. Put a fence up. No.
But yeah, the amount of grass, because that's where Sato lost it, is that he just dipped down, hit the grass. Well, I will say, at least with Indy, at the IMS, you have some more space between the white line and where grass actually is.
I mean, they were right up.
Whereas at Texas, it was like, you leave the white line, you're in the grass.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it is an IndyCar rule that you're not allowed to leave the white line. You're not allowed to cross that. I get that.
Right.
But it does happen from time to time. Yeah. And so, for safety issues, I think that we should not have nearly as much grass as we have.
Yeah.
And you can look at Ed Carpenter's amazing save earlier
in
this race.
Can we talk about that save?
Where he did a 360
and
still saved it.
That to me is one of the biggest moves of this race. I was so traumatized by all of the crashes, I couldn't even fathom that spin.
Mm-mm.
What the hell, Ed?
I mean, it was unbelievable. And then still was facing the right direction and started going.
He just
started
went,
driving again.
Whatever.
And he was like, okay, well, we need to replace these pieces. Da da da.
Yep.
Whenever you hear Ed on the radio, he's always so calm and so nice. I'm telling you, he never swears ever.
No. Well, it's because he's one of those racer owners, which I think is great.
Yeah. But I think that's who he is as a person, too.
But don't add me to the protective order, Ed.
Yeah.
One of us has to speak to you.
it'll just be me. He was like, that. I don't know about her.
I don't know about her. She's squirrely.
So, which, a great quote from Ed Carpenter was, over his radio, TK is being a real wiener.
The spotter goes, copy, wiener. Did you read, there's a couple of tweets, this is how fangirly we get, between like, Ed's wife, TK, and TK's wife.
No.
Yeah, apparently TK's been called wiener a couple times at his home. Ed's trying to clean up his language because the kids are now listening on the radio. So good for him. Again, that wouldn't have been the words we would have chosen.
No, would not have been the words that I would have chosen. In fact, a couple people commented on Twitter. I saw they were like, I bet he didn't say the word wiener. And Ed Carpenter Racing tweeted back and they were like, no, he did say wiener.
He did say
and
wiener.
I'm like, no, I can vouch for that. Ed would only say wiener.
He would. He's a good guy.
Dixon.
Shit. Dixon came out
I mean,
of that
he would have started with Wanker, but it would have gone downhill from there. Hinchcliffe would not have said wiener.
Nope.
And nope. I love that about you, Hinch. I love that about you. He would have said, we need to talk about our fucking program.
that's going on a t-shirt for us.
That is. That's adorable. And we need to talk about our fucking program. So. So yeah, so the grass, we think the grass needs to go.
Grass needs to go. It's been a tight turnaround. They had May. Good Lord, I can't have my calendar. What, May 26th? 25th. When was the 500?
Oh, Lord.
Hold on, we're now pulling up.
26th, 27th, 28th? I don't know.
One of those times. Look, I'm in June. Okay, May 28th was the 500.
There we go. Okay, yeah.
And then the 3rd and 4th of June
was in Detroit.
The 10th was Texas. I mean, good God. They're so much tight turnaround.
So much tight turnaround for those drivers and for the teams.
Yeah.
So I just can't even imagine being a mechanic on one of those teams.
I'd lose my shit.
Oh, yeah. Because they have, I mean, no time off at all. They all do have off, I think, this weekend. They all have Father's Day weekend off.
That's nice.
But that's pretty much it. But during this race season.
Because you can't fly the car. Like, the drivers, everybody else, yeah, they can fly home. The cars have to be, like, transported.
Yes. And so sometimes, it's kind of interesting. I'm curious as to how they do the schedule. Because, you know, touring bands typically have a tour bus.
Yes.
And they will drive across country. But they plan where they're stopping geographically so that it makes sense. And that isn't always the case with these races. So
yeah,
if you're the person who is in charge of driving the car across the country, then you can get screwed. And you
Indiana,
know.
Detroit. I'm actually making like a weird drawing. Texas. I mean, they went from here.
Yeah, they went from Indianapolis to Detroit, which is four and a half hours north.
I mean, that's a day.
Yeah, and
maybe.
Then from there to Texas.
That's a couple
and
of days.
That's a serious drive.
And, I mean, are they fixing them in Texas, or are they driving back home somewhere to fix them?
Actually, they stopped at Indianapolis.
Oh, well, let me add a little line here.
Yeah, they actually came back to Indianapolis to do a few things and then went back to Texas.
I was just saying, is my experience at schedule, that's not what I would do.
No, and no. So we feel for those teams. We know it's a hard life.
Label this so people know what
hard life for sure. But yeah, it's interesting.
It is.
And after the race, I mean, a lot of people have a lot of opinions about the Clusterfuck 600. And, you know, some people are saying that it wasn't safe and it wasn't this and that. And I think deep down, like, let's just be honest. There's a part of inside of everybody that's like the Romans where we want to see wrecks.
We do. Yeah.
But we don't actually want anybody to get hurt. Agreed. You know, you want some excitement. You know, nobody wants just that single file with no passing and no lead changes.
I mean, what the hell?
I mean, that's boring. That's but boring. At the same time, we also don't want it to be unsafe. You know, we want it to be suspenseful, but not to the point where you have a knot in the, you know, in your stomach because you're so worried that somebody's going to get, you know, horrifically injured or die.
I mean, you were on your fancy cruise. I was able to watch the video of it, and I will tell you that I don't know how many cars, I lost count, pile up. There was a moment I was like, I don't know, somebody might not be walking away. Cars were turning, hitting the walls 3 or 4 times. It's and one of those crashes where you're like, oh shit, what's about to happen?
Well, because there have been crashes, because after we talked about this before we started this podcast, we talked about the last couple days, before we actually recorded this one. And so I went down the rabbit hole on YouTube of looking up IndyCar crashes. And some fatal, some not fatal. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of crashes that the initial crash isn't the big issue, but then it's all the cars coming behind them.
Yeah.
There was one that I'll get the name for our next podcast, but literally like in the video he hit and I was like, well, that's not, I was like, that didn't look too bad, you know, but you never know. I mean, cause sometimes the force of it, it'll, you know, break somebody's neck or whatever.
Yeah.
Then his car started to come down. There was somebody that went full speed and hit him. And I literally gasped aloud. I was by myself and I gasped because it startled me so much. And I'm like, okay, that's what killed him.
Yeah.
If he wasn't already dead, like that's what did it. And you know, we don't want to see that. And so when you have that bunching and that quote-unquote pack racing,
there it is.
You know, when you then you have more issues with that, but again, we don't want to necessarily see single file. So then we're going to get into, you know, is it a gentleman's sport or is it not?
Here's another big debate.
So this is our little debate, which I do want to say, we're just going to do a quick thing. This year we've noticed the races, they're saying drivers start your engines,
as
opposed to lady and gentleman start your engines, which I don't know
how I feel about
I don't like it.
I think it's a formality. It's a formality, but I think it's part of the experience.
I do too. And at other tracks, I really don't care if they say drivers, but at the Indianapolis 500, since that race is just surrounded with pageantry, I feel like saying, you know, lady or ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. That has such history and, you know, that I just... And just everything else that goes on that day, you know, we release the balloons, we have the flyover, we have all the bands that go around you. Know, we have so much pageantry around it and all this pomp and circumstance that it seems silly to me to not include that pomp and circumstance with starting your engines.
I agree.
Other racetracks, if they're doing that to be PC, I mean, whatever.
Whatever. I think at the same time, saying ladies and gentlemen, that's also PC.
It is. But I'm okay with that because there's a female driver. I think that should be recognized rather than just gentlemen start your engines.
Right,
because
if it was just gentlemen and Pippa was out there for the 500, been like, hey, wait a minute,
there's
my
a lady.
Girl Pippa is out there.
And they have done that in the years where there's been more than one female driver, they say ladies and gentlemen. When there's just been one female driver, they say lady. And when there's been no female drivers, they say gentlemen. Yeah. But this year they just said drivers, and I don't really like it.
It didn't sit well.
Yeah, I don't like it. Okay, so to get back, so
the gentleman sport.
So is it a gentleman's sport or not? Is it or isn't it? And so TK, a lot of drivers had opinions about how he drove.
Yeah.
Making a right-hand turn into a left turn.
Hey, manager TK, I'd probably do that eventually at some point.
Oh, I'm sure.
Just, whoop,
right?
Wrong way.
Yeah. I mean, I'd get tired and be like, wait a second, what are we doing here?
There's a Taco Bell. I gotta go buy
a Taco Bell, yeah. I gotta get Dario. so I read some articles this week, with Ed Carpenter being quoted about the race and with Tony Kanaan.
Yeah.
And Tony Kanaan, you know, they both talked about, you know, simplifying the rules, and the blocking rules and this and that. And Ed Carpenter basically said they should just, you know, because you're allowed to defend your line, but you're not allowed to block. You can you can act proactively, but not reactively. So you can defend your line, meaning if you are cutting in close, like you're allowed to do that because that's where your line is. But if you see somebody's trying to come on the inside, you're not allowed to then cut a shorter line, cut a line closer to the inside to keep them from passing.
Yeah.
That would be blocking as opposed to defending. And so Ed said they should just make a solid no blocking rule across the board. That's a gentleman's game, that everybody should respect their space, et cetera, and that that will, you know, you won't have as many wrecks. Ed didn't see any problem with the Texas 600. He didn't see problems with, you know, the track or any of that business. He saw more problems with how people drove it.
Yeah.
TK felt differently. He said it's racing. It's not a gentleman's sport. It's racing.
Yeah.
And he said they should actually have less restriction. Let them block. Let them do this. Let them defend their spot. They earned their spot. Let them defend it proactively and reactively. And that it's not gentlemen's. It's a sport, and they're there to win.
Which, and I think following TK, Tristan, I'm going to mispronounce Tristan.
Vautier?
Thank you. I took French, but, you know, that was 10 years ago. Tristan Vautier ran this race. I think he was replacing Bourdais.
Mm-hmm.
They're rotating people in for Bourdais right now.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, he was cutting up, he was going high and then just shooting right down,
mm-hmm.
cutting across. First of all, it's beautiful to watch.
It is beautiful to watch.
If anybody gets an opportunity to watch him cut down, I have never seen anything more beautiful in my mm-hmm. life. But I think that goes to the fact is, if you are having drivers protect your line, protect your lane, you then, as a driver trying to pass, you got to get smarter.
Yes.
And I think Tristan was showing how you can do that.
Yes. I mean, the same as how Sato did in the Indy 500. Yep. Most people pass on the inside.
You got to learn how to handle that outside.
And he was passing on the outside.
Exactly.
And so, you know, Vautier was finding a different line that wasn't being utilized by other drivers. And he was using that banking and that G-force and how it slingshots you around. He was using that to his advantage.
Oh, he was shaking and banging.
He was shaking and banging.
With himself.
He was. shake. First you shake. Then you
bake.
Anyway. They're both verbs. They rhyme. Shake and bake.
The references to Talladega Nights will only get worse the closer we get to May again, guys.
Truth.
I mean, basically.
And yes, we know it's a movie about NASCAR, and we don't care.
I don't.
It's still funny.
There's really still not a good IndyCar race.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talladega Nights is just funny. I don't care who you are.
I don't care.
Excuse me. So yeah, Vautier, I think, yeah, he had a good line.
He did have a good line.
And so I think that, yeah, however they want to change the rules or not change the rules, I don't know that any drastic changes need to be made.
Yeah.
And I hope that there's no overreaction from this.
I've heard people say they shouldn't go back to Texas, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I think if anything, it's just more of a maybe give them some time.
Yes. I mean, because it was a new track to all of them.
Yeah.
Even though they did have the tire testing, you know, not every driver participated in that. So to a lot of them, it was, you know, it was their first time really out there. And you can tire test all you want, but it's completely different than race day competition conditions.
Yeah.
Weather-wise, we already discussed that. It's different. But also, you know, just being out there, the adrenaline, the amount of cars in the field, it's just very different. And so, you know, same as you can have a football player in college go from college to
pro.
The NFL, college to pro, and they might know the game really, really well, but
it's just a whole different
it's a whole different, yeah, when the level of stress,
yep.
You know, the level that everybody else is performing on has been raised, and
mm-hmm.
so it's very different, even if you are very good at what you do.
Agreed, yeah.
So I think they should go back. I mean, I think Texas has a good track.
I think they should. I think Texas.
I think they've got a good oval.
It's kind of a bump it oval, by the way.
It is. It's interesting.
I call it a bump it. That's for the female listeners. It's a bump it. There's a bump it right on the straightaway, which is that long straight path between some corners. So there's a bump it. You kind of whoop bump
yep.
up.
Just how you can bump it to your bangs.
Yep. You can bump it on Texas.
It is like a bump it.
Well,
oval.
It's the South. The bigger the hair, the closer to God.
You know it, baby.
So
you know it.
The bump it on the track, closer to Jesus.
But I was always told your hair in the South, your hair should be at least as big as your ass.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, you know.
I mean, I'm gonna need a lot more hairspray. I'll tell you that.
I'm good.
My hair's not very thick, but I got a real big ass. So I'm gonna need a lot more hairspray. A
lot of teasing going on.
A lot of teasing.
Wow.
So, what do you think? Is it a gentleman's sport or is it not?
I think part of it is there's some trust. You gotta have the trust between everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially on an oval. The road courses, I think road courses are almost a fast parade with some push to pass.
Which yeah.
We'll discuss later in later episodes. But I think on the oval, there's a time and a place for being kind of wild. There's a time and place for being wild. And I think you have to on ovals to pass, but I think at the end...
Well, and sometimes, I mean, like we've discussed with other drivers, you know, sometimes you have to push it. You have to go balls to the wall.
All right.
And there's a lot of drivers that Molly and I will say, and I'll credit this phrase to my friend Joe.
Yep.
Excuse me. I will not use his last name.
Nobody wants to
As requested by him. But he likes to use the phrase, you know, stuff it into the wall.
Yeah.
Talk about drivers. And so there's a lot of drivers that we say, you know, like they're going to push it hard. And so they're either going to, you know, hit the top speed. They're either going to win the pole position or they're going to stuff it into the wall.
I think a lot of people use, what is it? Win it or wreck it?
Yeah.
Win it or wreck it. And look, I am all about that. If you are a driver, if you went out there on that track, your goal is to win the race.
Absolutely.
Now, you got to do it smart, but some of it is, yeah, you got to push it to the limit.
Sometimes you do. You do. You do. In fact, there was actually a good Mario Andretti quote that said, if everything's going right, then you're not going fast enough.
I would agree.
And so, one of those sports where, again, like I said, you know, we don't want to see crashes. No. We don't want to see people hurt. We don't want to see people injured. But at the same time, this is a sport that has always been known for pushing the limits.
I mean.
Yes, we want things to be safer. We want to make, you know, the regulations, you know, and the safer barrier and all of that business and how they've designed the cars and the helmets and the headrests and all these different things that we have to protect our drivers.
Yeah.
And the spectators for that matter, because there used to be a lot of spectator deaths as well.
Oh my God.
And we'll get into that as well. All the deaths at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
That's gonna be a fun podcast.
Yeah, 73.
That's gonna be fun.
Two on the golf course, unrelated. A bunch of spectators, one trespasser. And it's listed on Wikipedia as trespasser, not spectator or anything.
I do want to point out, we get a lot of our information from Wikipedia.
We do.
But Wikipedia has changed, so it's okay now.
It has. So, but anyhow, so to get back to that. So, you know, you do have to have some trust.
There's some trust, but I think at the end of the day.
But again, yeah, it's like they're trying to win. They're trying to win. And so
you got to go for it.
You got to push it, but you don't want to make choices or make decisions on the track that are going to be, you know, cause a harmful situation to other drivers.
It's like what I tell everybody, you know what, make good decisions.
Make good decisions.
Go fast, make good decisions.
And so, and IndyCar is pretty good about if you know, the avoidable contact.
That's a great rule.
It is a great rule.
It's a great rule.
I mean, Hinch got dinged for avoidable contact in pit row. And in fact, he did not get dinged any time during the race.
No, he had to...
Did he have to do a drive-through?
He had to do a drive-through.
Kanaan had to...
Sit.
Do a stop and go of 20 seconds.
Yeah, but he
which put him at the back of the field, and then he made up and still finished second.
Yes.
Which is very impressive.
To be fair, there was that big crash.
I mean, there was that big crash. Yeah. But I will say, that still, I mean,
still
it still shows you
comeback.
What a hell of a driver Kanaan is. And so it was just really an off day for him. But Hinchcliffe got dinged points-wise. For his avoidable contact, and he lost 25 points, which actually has put him out of the running for the championship.
Sorry,
which is unfortunate.
That. Sorry about that. And he also had to do the slow pass through on that.
Yeah, the pass through, because the speed limit in most pit lanes is 60 miles an hour. So, which, you know, is faster than 465, but
well, most people on 465.
Yeah, well, it's faster than the speed limit on 465.
There you go.
I'll say that.
How about that? That's a good answer. I like that.
Faster than the speed limit on 465, but it's still very slow out here on these tracks. So
yeah. So no IndyCar race until a couple of weeks from now, but this upcoming weekend is Le Mans, the 24 hours of Le Mans.
Le Mans.
LEMANS. That's right. I took French in high school.
Woo! It's considered one of the three Triple Crown races.
One of the Triple Crown races. It is the endurance race of the Triple Crown. There's a couple of good documentaries. I just watched one called The 24 Hours of Le Mans. A lot of I'm going to be like a weird nerd for a minute or two. A lot of development in our cars that we drive today come out of Le Mans because it's endurance. Can these engines run 24 hours?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my Honda could run 24 hours.
I bet it could.
I have to change the tires probably first.
Honda's a good car.
I mean, I love Hondas, first of all. I'm Team Honda all the way.
Yeah. No, I think it could.
Maybe.
My car could run 24 hours. I've damn near driven it 24 solid hours.
That's true.
Yeah.
But TK is driving the Le Mans this year for Sebastian Bourdais.
Yeah.
So if he wins, if his team wins, he will win 2 out of 3 for the Triple Crown.
Because he's won the Indianapolis 500 already?
So the Triple Crown, and we'll go into it a little bit later and my thoughts on it. Indy 500, naturally. The Le Mans. Okay, I'll give it to you, F1. And then Monaco. So it's two F1 races and the Indy 500, which is an IndyCar.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Kind of feel like there should be NASCAR. We'll get into it later.
Right, like the Coca-Cola 600 or whatever.
Yeah, Daytona maybe.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, fuck Daytona.
Fuck
Which, by the way, everybody that chanted fuck Daytona from the snake pit during the Indy 500, good for you.
You're my good heroes. For you. We're going to start that next year in this dance.
Fuck Daytona.
Oh, yeah, wow.
That's going to happen.
That happened.
That's going to happen.
That just happened on the podcast.
Yeah, it did.
Wow.
But yeah, good for everybody who did that this year.
We're going to add nobody from NASCAR on,
on the list of people that will not ever be on this show.
Yep, NASCAR.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it is, I mean, it is racing, it is a sport, but I feel like it is still a gentleman's sport. So yeah. I'm going to have to agree more with Ed Carpenter than with TK on this one.
Ooh, you're going against TK?
You know I love TK. I know. I do.
You're just trying to make Ed not file that protective order.
I don't think anything I say on this is going to make Ed less likely to file a restraining order That's on true. Me.
All right.
But I'm going to have to agree with Ed. I mean, especially growing up with the Indy 500 and the pageantry, I mean, Molly and I wear dresses on race day. I don't just wear a dress. Like, I wear tulle underneath it, okay? Like, I mean, we are about the pageantry. And it is a sport, but I think it's a different sport than, you know, football or basketball or things like that. Because, you know, you're on a team, but there's one person out there driving the car. But there's so many different people that, you know, are working behind the scenes to make that car work the way that it does. And I don't know, it's just man and machine, and I feel like...
I mean, there's a whole, like, story narrative behind it, I get that.
There is, so I don't know, I mean, I see both sides.
Yeah, it's a hard question.
But I can definitely see where it can still be a gentleman's sport, but you still go balls to the wall. I don't think that the two are mutually exclusive.
I could see it being a middle ground.
So, yeah.
All right, guys.
Well, I think that's all we got for now. Any other funny quotes from the... from the Clusterfuck 600?
Jesus, it was just a Clusterfuck 600. At one point, Graham Rahal was talking about Sato and said he had a rocket. He was driving like a rocket.
Yeah.
Which is true, and then he got loose and took out Dixon.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, hashtag Connor Carwatch. He got taken out.
He got taken out.
Sorry, Connor.
Sorry, Connor. Again, Connor Carwatch.
Not your fault, man.
Right. There's something on that car.
It's a haint.
There's
cool.
a haint on that
I
car.
I don't know how to get rid of haints, but we got to get rid of haints.
Yeah, we need to... Yeah, if anybody knows a shaman...
Or a Roman Catholic priest.
Yeah.
Can priests still do exorcisms?
They can still do exorcisms, but you'd be real hard-pressed to get the Vatican to approve that on a race car.
Maybe Episcopalian would.
Oh, we can definitely get an Episcopalian.
Yeah, we'll find one for you. Don't worry.
You know what? Where there's four Episcopalians, there's a fifth.
We are Episcopalian, so we can make that joke.
We can make that joke.
Yep.
All right. Well.
All right, guys. This is it for us. Le Mans is this weekend. We'll come back and talk about that. And then after Le Mans is the Kohler Grand Prix.
All right.
I think in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Yes. Road America.
Yep.
Thank you. Which, you know what happens. So, guys, don't forget to rate our podcast. And 5 stars, please. If you don't like it, maybe don't rate it. Just let us know. Because you can hit us up on social media. We're Twitter, @FastCarsNIN317. Instagram is just Fast Cars, Fast Girls. Tumblr, if you're on there. Fast Cars, Fast Girls, N-I-N-I-N-317. And you can email us, which is easier, fastcarsfastgirls317@gmail.com.
If you use any of our stuff, feel free to. Any of our quotes, any of our memes, any of our pictures, you're welcome to. Just please credit the source, credit us.
Yep.
We'd appreciate that. Tell your friends and family to listen to us. And again, hit us up, email us, hit us on social media. If there's anything you want to hear us talk about, anything you don't want to hear us talk about, unless it's about... how much we make fun of Marco, because that's just not going to stop.
Not going to stop.
Not going to happen. I'm just going to manage some expectations right now and tell you that's not going to happen. Anything else, you know, please let us know. Give us, you know, your critiques, your criticisms. Like I said, we're a work in progress. We're not a very fancy organization here right now. So,
I mean, we're going to put some pictures up from this podcast and you can see how rough it gets.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for the record, neither of us have showered in these photos, so.
No, I didn't. I showered at the gym this morning.
Well, yeah, I say, but you're in your running clothes. Like, you've been for a run since you showered, so the shower has been negated.
It's gone.
I had the time and opportunity to shower. I just chose to watch House of Cards instead. So.
By the way, Netflix, if you want to sponsor us.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm a Netflix binger.
And as always, any women that are involved in racing or in anything that has to do with racing. So Kara Adams, actually, we should reach out to her because I think she'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Her boss, I think it's Linda Boggs.
Oh.
Let's see. Pippa Mann, Sarah Fisher. If any of you guys are listening, we'd love to talk to you.
Danica, we will talk Danica NASCAR Patrick. With Danica.
We'll talk NASCAR and IndyCar.
Yeah.
And I got a great Danica story that we'll save for next time.
Yeah.
So.
But come talk to us because, you know, we'll make food. We'll do whatever drinks you want. We will talk about anything you want to.
Anything. Ladies. Doesn't even have to be racing. Doesn't, we don't even care.
It's cool. We'll promote whatever you want because we're whores like that, really.
We are. It's just, we are. And we like meeting new people. So.
We do.
All right. Well, thanks again. And remember, you're not speeding. You're just qualifying.